Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
And folks, we kick off Big Scary News for episode 111 with a little sad news from Trimper's Haunted House in Ocean City, Maryland. It is with a heavy heart to share that Mr. Manfred Manny Gunther Bass, lead designer, sculptor, and artist for Bill Tracy and Outdoor Dimensional Display Company, Incorporated in the early 1960s, passed away on Sunday, October the 8th, at the age of 82. Manfred was the original sculptor for many of the figures you see in Trimper's Haunted House today, including the giant attic rat in the first room. He was also the artist and brains behind the original Haunted House facade concept drawing, his name clearly written at the top. Bass was on site at Trimper's Haunted House during the installation in 1964 and is responsible for the ride's iconic crooked look that you see today. After working with Tracy, Manny would spend the next 40 years as chief designer of the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. In addition to designing and building the floats, Manfred was in charge of balloon design. He was an all-around great guy and a class act. He'll be greatly missed, and we have a lot to owe him. The Big Scary Show sends its condolences to the family and friends of Manny Gunther Bass and offers up this moment of silence. We have an update on the upcoming Bride of Frankenstein movie via BloodyDisgusting.com. The plan was for Universal to continue the dark universe that this year's The Mummy kicked off with a new take on The Bride of Frankenstein, with Bill Condon attached to direct and a 2019 release date. We assumed Universal was going to pull the plug in the wake of The Mummy underperforming, but it seems they're giving the dark universe another chance. Speaking with Forbes, Condon revealed that The Bride of Frankenstein is now in pre-production, with filming set to begin early next year. I've got the same team together that made Beauty and the Beast, and we're building big sets and designing big set pieces, so it's a pretty big movie, Condon told the site. We start on February 1st, 2018, so it's the early days, but just to be here in London, starting to see locations and to talk about sets that we're building is very exciting. Condon also spilled some early plot details. For me, the James Whale movie is right there in the pantheon for me, he noted. As you know, the bride is a character who appears in the last 5 minutes and then is destroyed, so it's a way to almost continue the movie that you imagine the movie he might have made, the third Frankenstein movie, but in 2018. Bride of Frankenstein, penned by David Cope, will be released February 14th, 2019. We have this news on the sequel to the movie It, also via BloodyDisgusting.com. We've learned that the sequel will arrive in theaters on September 6th, 2019. Andy Muschietti will direct the second chapter in the epic saga for New Line and Warner Brothers, while Gary Dauberman has inked a deal to write the script. Part 2 is about these characters 30 years later as adults, Muschietti recently noted, with flashbacks to 1989 when they were kids. As far as we're aware, casting for the Adult Losers Club has not yet begun. As always, the Big Scary Show will keep you up to date on all developments as we get them. We have this update from Horror Hound Weekend in Columbus, Ohio. We are thrilled to announce that Art Hindle has been added to the guest list for Horror Hound Weekend Columbus, taking place November 3rd through the 5th at the Crown Plaza Columbus North. Art Hindle is an astounding name in the annals of horror, having worked on such films as Bob Clark's 1974 horror holiday Black Christmas, as well as the 1978 masterpiece Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and David Cronenberg's 1979 The Brood. Additional horror credits for Mr. Hindle include Jack Ketchum's Offspring, Sicilian Vampire, Monster Brawl, and the recent indie hit The Void. Art Hindle has also appeared in feature films as Porky's and Porky's 2 the Next Day, The Octagon, A Small Town in Texas, Cannonball Fever, and many, many others. As for television work, you could have seen Art in such shows as Paradise Falls, Dallas, Beverly Hills 90210, Dark Rising, Warrior of Worlds, Poltergeist The Legacy, and Kingston Confidential. Discount priced pre-sale tickets for Horror Hound Weekend are now available. Just visit horrorhoundweekend.com to secure yours today, and remember to share and tell your friends. We have this news regarding The Nightmare Before Christmas. Santa Claus has truly bestowed a gift upon us all this Halloween season, because from October 27th through the 31st, you can see The Nightmare Before Christmas in over 300 Regal Cinema locations across the U.S. Check out Regal Cinema's site for participating theaters and showtimes, www.regmovies.com. We have this news from Days of the Dead in Chicago. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of pro wrestling icons, tag team royalty, and former WWF tag team champions, Axe and Smash Demolition, to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Chicago, happening November 17th through the 19th at the Chicago Marriott Schaumburg. Debuting as a team in 1987, Axe and Smash went on to capture the WWF World Tag Team Championship an astonishing three times during their legendary career together. Both world traveled and world famous, Axe as the Masked Superstar and Smash as Killer Khrushchev, the Blacktop Bully, Repo Man, and Hole-in-One Barry Darso, Demolition Axe has also appeared in the film No Holds Barred alongside Hulk Hogan. Being brought to Days of the Dead by our friends over at Heroes and Legends Wrestling, Axe and Smash will be appearing Saturday and Sunday only. Axe and Smash Demolition joins previously announced guests Sean Astin, Ryan Hurst, Firuza Balk, Dee Snider, Ray Wise, Linda Blair, Daphne Zuniga, The Rock and Roll Express, Jeremy Bullock, and many, many more to be announced as Days of the Dead returns to the Chicagoland area for a sixth exciting year. Tickets for Days of the Dead Chicago are on sale now at daysofthedead.com. We have this update from the new Halloween movie via BloodyDisgusting.com. From the very beginning, the belief has been that David Gordon Green's Halloween will be picking up after the events of Halloween 2, disregarding all the sequels that came in the wake of the 1981 film. But recent comments from Gordon Green and co-writer Danny McBride have suggested that even Halloween 2 is going to be wiped from the timeline. After all, McBride recently noticed he's not a big fan of the reveal that Laurie Strode is Michael's sister, which of course was presented in Halloween 2. So what's the deal? Which film does Gordon Green use as a jumping-off point? Halloween or Halloween 2? The former, according to John Carpenter himself, speaking with Stereo Gun, Carpenter spilled the beans. Quote, "It's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, it's almost an alternative reality," Carpenter described the film. "It picks up after the first one and it pretends that none of the others were made. It's going to be fun. There's a really talented director and it was well written. I'm impressed." Unquote. Jamie Lee Curtis is reprising the role of Laurie Strode, while Judy Greer is in talks to play Laurie's daughter, Karen Strode. John Carpenter will be providing the score. In the franchise Reinvention, Laurie Strode comes to her final confrontation with Michael Myers, the masked figure who has haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago. Carpenter is executive producing the new film, with Malek Akkad producing for Trankus and Jason Blum producing for Blumhouse. Gordon Green and McBride will also executive produce under their Rough House Pictures banner. Michael Myers returns on October 19th, 2018. And of course, we'll keep you updated. We have a little haunt news from Branson Haunted Forest in Washburn, Tennessee. Branson Farms Haunted Forest celebrates our 20th year. However, with several heavy hearts, we would like to inform the public that this year will be our last. we have decided that after this year we'll be closing Branson Farms Haunted Forest. Our family has talked about this for the last several years. This has been a very hard decision, one we've prayed about, lost sleep over, and most certainly argued about. Norman, myself, and our children have talked about it through many times, and it's become very difficult for each of us. There are many reasons why, and no single reason trumps the other. Parking accommodations have become harder each year. In our eyes, this is both a blessing and a downfall for our event. We never could have imagined the idea of giving back to the community and having something fun for the children to do in this small little town of Washburn, Tennessee, becoming what it is today. We are hoping that everyone can understand where we're coming from. All of our volunteers throughout the years have become like family to us, and we love them like they're our own children. In 19 years, our number of guests is up to 400 a night. With the help of Facebook, it became popular, with the thanks to Kermit Carpenter for his hard work of keeping everyone up to date what was going on. We appreciate all the past and present volunteers for their hard work and dedication throughout these past 20 years of going way above and beyond in their love and support. We love you all from the bottom of our hearts. For all the guests that have supported us, you just don't know what that means to us all, and to all the people that you have helped along the way. Be sure to join us this year for the last bittersweet thrill before our forest rests in peace. Thank you once again, and may God bless you. Much love to all forever. Get more information at facebook.com/Branson's Farms Haunted Forest. We have this news on the RAHK Rockaholic Karaoke Costume Party in Hollywood, California. Save the date. On October 25th, beginning at 8 p.m., Skinny's Lounge, 4923 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood, California, hosts the Rockaholic Costume Party. Come dressed in your scariest costumes. We also have several bands playing live music, including the Rhythm Coffins, Signal 99, and Voodoo Child, a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. We're starting Halloween early in North Hollywood, and as usual, it's free. Get more information at facebook.com/RAHKaraoke. We have a little sad news from the Famous Monsters of Filmland convention in San Jose, California. Unprecedented damage from wildfires in Northern California has led to an official California state of emergency. The fires have claimed over 200,000 acres, at least 5,700 structures, and as of this writing, at least 40 lives. Public health concerns and Bay Area-wide evacuations have given Famous Monsters no choice but to cancel their Halloween event in San Jose on October 27th through the 29th. Keep up with the latest info at FamousMonstersHalloween.com. We have a little news from the Underworld franchise via DreadCentral.com. The Underworld saga may be over, at least theatrically, but that's not stopping the war between the vampires and lycans from carrying over to the small screen. Deadline is reporting that Len Wiseman and his production company Sketch Films are moving forward with the long-gestating Underworld TV series based on the popular action horror movie franchise, which is targeting the premium cable and digital space. The series will be a pretty big departure from the films, Wiseman said. I don't want to say it's more adult, but it's definitely less comic book in its tone and character. Wiseman has been involved in all 5 movies in the Underworld franchise, which he helped launch. He co-wrote and directed the first 2 and produced the remaining 3. Wiseman will executive produce the potential series via his Sketch Films with Lakeshore Entertainment's Tom Rosenberg, Gary Lucchesi, and Eric Reed. The TV division of Sony, whose Screen Gems unit distributed the features, is also involved in the project. The Underworld franchise, which kicked off with the eponymous movie in 2003, centers on Celine, played by Kate Beckinsale, a vampire who works as a death dealer. She started off by killing the lycans who allegedly slaughtered her family. The modestly budgeted films have grossed collectively more than $500 million at the box office. The Underworld series has been carved out of Wiseman's overall deal at 20th Century Fox Television. And as always, we'll provide you more information as we get it. We have this from George Romero via BloodyDisgusting.com. Back in August, a fundraiser was launched to pay for the Hollywood Walk of Fame star that the late George A. Romero was selected to receive prior to his passing. As silly as it is, these things cost a whole lot of money, and organizer Matt O'Neill hoped that Romero fans would pitch in to cover the ridiculous cost. Unfortunately, that fundraiser never ended up raising its goal amount, but that's okay, because we've just learned that Romero is getting his star in October. Via Hollywood Walk of Fame producer Anna Martinez on Twitter, saying George Romero will be honored with a posthumous Walk of Fame star on October 25th. On that same night, Prospect House Entertainment, Glendale Arts, and Chris Rowe Management, along with George Romero's close family and friends, will celebrate Romero's life and career with the George A. Romero Official Tribute and Memorial. Beginning at 7 p.m. at the Alex Theater in Glendale, California, the event will feature a Q&A, with celebrity fans and friends, along with a screening of Creepshow. You can grab your tickets from the Alex Theater's website, Alex Theater, that's with a T-R-E, .org. We have some sad news from the Nightmare Manor haunted house in Pensacola, Florida. I sadly have to write this post. The property that we were holding Nightmare Manor on has been sold, so I regret to say that it looks like we won't be able to hold Nightmare Manor this year. We're currently trying to find a new space to host the haunted house, and we hope to see you next year. Keep up with our updates at facebook.com/Nightmare Manor Pensacola. And finally, we have some news on the David S. Pumpkins Halloween special via Deadline.com. Saturday Night Live's David S. Pumpkins, the bizarre Tom Hanks character that went viral last year, is returning to NBC for a Halloween-themed animated half-hour special set for Saturday, October 28th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. The David S. Pumpkins Halloween special is based on the popular Haunted Elevator sketch from the October 22, 2016 Saturday Night Live episode. The sketch featured a pumpkin-suited Tom Hanks as mystery man David S. Pumpkins on an elevator with two skeleton-dressed dancers played by Mikey Day and Bobby Moynihan. Also voicing characters will be Game of Thrones star Peter Dinklage and sketch creators Day, Moynihan, and SNL writer Streeter Seidel. It's scary how quickly the original SNL sketch caught on, and we're thrilled that Tom Hanks is back to keep the fun going, says George Cheeks, president of business operations at Late Night Programming at NBC Entertainment and Universal Television. Hanks will appear on camera at the beginning of the half hour, as well as voice the animated character. Set in a small town on All Hallows' Eve, the special centers on David Pumpkins and his skeleton sidekicks who show a young boy and his sister the true meaning of Halloween, answering none of their questions along the way. Bento Box Entertainment will provide the entertainment, or the animation. Day, Seidel, and Monahan will write and produce. Lorne Michaels will executive produce. The David S. Pumpkins Halloween special is a production of Broadway Video in association with SNL Studios. I'm watching that. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless. We go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We are here live at the Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky, enjoying all the sights. We get the media tower to stand out here and survey all that we can see. And I'm fanboying out like a little schoolgirl right now because one of my very favorite shows, Mystery Science Theater 3000, I have Mr. Bill Corbett, a.k.a. Crow T. Robot, many, many other very important parts here. Mr. Corbett, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. And thank you for fanboying out on me. I like your little curtsy and twirl.
Well, you know, I've been practicing on it ever since I saw you were announced. When I heard Joel was coming, I was doing some serious bowing and genuflecting, but he canceled. So I've got you, and I practiced my curtsy. And
I will pass it on to Joel. I will curtsy to him, tell him it's from you.
Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about the new riff tracks that you have. A lot of people know that Mystery Science Theater went off the air 10 years ago, roughly, and all that. And then this new thing called riff tracks came up. It's not on, you know, network TV or anything like that, but it's very, very popular, and you go on tour and all this. What is riff tracks?
Well, riff tracks is myself, Mike Nelson, host and head writer of Mystery Science Theater after Joel left. And Kevin Murphy, Tom Servo, and we do the same kind of funny movie commentary tracks. You can download them from our site, but we also do live shows through fathomevents.com. They are, they're not always .com, but everybody is a .com at some point. And we do them about four or five times a year. And the upcoming one in late October is our Halloween show of George Romero, the late George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. We filmed a little extra tribute to George last month, telling him that we love him and we appreciate him, and thanks for letting us have fun with his movie.
Where is that going to be located, or where was that located?
It plays all over the U.S. Once you go on the Fathom site, you can type in your zip, and it plays at 700-plus theaters around the U.S., and it's actually been around for 10 years. Your sense of time is like me. I think everything is 2 years ago. Mystery Science Theater went off the air 18 years ago, and Riff Tracks has been around for 10. So time just keeps moving on, man.
This internet thing is still kind of new to me. I'm still, you know, I don't even have a .com. My personal site's a .org, but, you know, we won't talk about that. Personal favorite movies that you guys did either as Mystery Science or as Riff Tracks?
Right up there for me. I mean, I always have a different answer to this because I will have just seen something and remember it fondly. But definitely Space Mutiny is one of my favorite the gift that movie gave us was a character being killed off in one scene and then accidentally reappearing in the next scene working at her desk. And there's just so many great characters in it. And Reb Brown as the muscle-bound hero. There's a little chase with basically floor waxers at the end that meant to be like a real chase scene, but they're going at about 4 miles an hour. It was an absolute gift, and we loved it.
Was there any movie that you guys tried to get through that, despite repeated attempts, you just couldn't make it work?
Well, for Riff Tracks, we really took a shot. We did an MP3 commentary on Twilight, but we wanted to get it for one of our Fathom Event live shows, which was a big ask because they were very big Hollywood hits, unfortunately. But we had so much fun making fun of them, and we thought if we can get that in a theater, that would be great. But ultimately, they asked for about $18 billion to do it. So that was one. Outside of that, I don't know. I can't remember one that we really, really wanted and couldn't get.
What about as far as trying to make it through the movie? I know the last Slumber Party was absolute torture for some of us who just sat through it two and three times just to get all the references, but still.
You're a braver man than me. Yeah, that one was terrible.
It had to be some college student's art project or something.
Yeah. I mean, assuming they went to college at all, because it wasn't even that smart. Right now, I think the ones that really stuck in my head the most is an MP3 one we did of the Transformers movies. We can't get the rights to those, right, but we do download an MP3 commentary. And we did two of them, and they were selling really well. And then we looked at each other and said, we just can't do this anymore. They're horrible, and they have a special kind of dread because they're very confusing visually too, and they move really fast, and it's hard to get a foothold on what's going on and to make a joke. So they're not like those old slow-paced 1950s movies from Universal that, you know, we cut our teeth on,
like Burt I. Gordon and all those guys.
Yeah, all those
are horrible.
Yeah, and plenty of those were really bad too. Like I love Manos for what we, you know, what the guy, Joel and the guys did with it originally, and we revisited it with Riff Tracks, but I'm not a fan. Like, I'm charmed by the fact that it became a cult phenomenon thanks to Mystery Science Theater, but it's a tough sit-through. It feels so snuff film-like.
I think the master's daughter, Niedenbach or something, she's actually trying to make like a documentary on the making of or something.
Yeah, there's been a whole revival of interest, and it's some of it was because this guy had a project of restoring the print, and it started to look really good. I mean, better than that old...
Good is relative
here. Yeah, good is relative here. But yeah, some of the people who were involved in it are still around. And yeah, his daughter, the dad just died, I think, last year.
Yeah.
But they were making a sequel for a while. I don't know what the status of that is. I mean, he was going to play the master and everything all these years later.
That's just, yeah, we won't even talk about that. Let's bring up the new season of MST that's on Netflix. Are you involved in it in any way, or what do you think of it if you're not?
I was involved slightly. Joel asked us to come back and do a couple of cameos, so I'm playing Brain Guy in two of the shows, the second and the last of season 11. And I did a little writing for them, too, on a couple of the movies. But outside of that, it's a new thing entirely, and I think they did a great job.
Yeah, I just actually got Netflix, and I've actually started watching it. I've made it through, like, Star Crash or something, which I actually remember when that came out in the theater, and I really wanted to see it as a kid of, like, 13, and now I look at it as an adult, and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
It's amazing. That was one of the ones I wrote on, so I watched a lot of it and saw... you know, they're sort of Christmas light Starfield in space, you know, the multicolored stars.
And David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff and Marjo Gortner. I don't know if people don't know who he is, you should Google him, because he's a weird 70s actor, and he was like in the Evel Knievel movie and all that. But he also was a child preacher. And he had a whole life before his acting life, which is fascinating.
Well, you know, with his hair and Hasselhoff's hair, you know, it was just too perfect. It was so,
you know,
70s.
Like Permfest.
So what's next on the horizon? You're going to continue with Riff Tracks, I guess, as long as people keep buying the movies and the downloads and checking out all the stuff.
We're having a blast, and we consider ourselves extremely lucky that this keeps going on. But it's fun. We're going to announce a new season of Riff Tracks Live pretty soon once we batten it down.
Any convention appearances in the next, say, 3 to 4 months?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple in Florida. I'm doing Pensacon in Pensacola, which makes sense. And one in Miami in January. His name is not coming to my head right now. Sorry, guys. I will remedy that somehow.
Well, we can remedy it by giving a plug. Where can people get more information on maybe where Bill Corbett is going to be appearing, or where Riff Tracks, or what movies may be coming up in the upcoming season? Websites, social medias, how can people get more information on everything MST3K, Riff Tracks, etc.?
You can go to rifftracks.com, RIFFTRAX.com, and we have everything you need there. Or you can look at me at Twitter. That's where I spend most of my social media wasted time. At Bill Corbett, BILLCORBETT.
You got the blue check?
I got the blue check. It doesn't mean a thing, believe me.
Oh, some of us who crave that blue check, it means a lot to us. Well, Mr. Bill Corbett, again, a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. We love the show. MST3K, catch it on some late night rerun, low budget cable channel, where you can. If not, check out rifftracks.com. Check out all the great stuff. Continue doing all the great work. Mike Nelson and Kevin Murphy and you make up one hell of a great team. And I wish you nothing but success over the futures. Rifftracks.com, Mr. Bill Corbett here at Scarefest in Lexington. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we're out.
Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show.
Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor. Froggy'sFog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.